Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are together, and everything between us is good. I'm riding this cloud, baby, ready to fly, but before I take another step, would you catch me if I fall for you? I'm so used to standing, so used to being on my own. But this thing is new, babe. It feels like I'm losing control. I'll take another step if you catch me when I fall for you.
Family, thank you for joining us tonight. We appreciate you choosing to take time out of your evening or your day, depending on where you're listening from, to join our journey becoming one. This is wife Muhammad. We have husband here. So, husband, you want to chime in, give you a greeting?
Peace and blessings, family. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for taking the time out today and listening to this program. We hope that you definitely enjoy it.
Okay. So, this is part two. A couple of weeks ago, we played some clips that kind of alluded to and talked about trust. So now I want to come back and delve into it a little bit more. And our intro song was Lila Jane's Fall for You. And we chose that, well, I chose that song because she's talking about trust. She's talking about
this person that she's speaking to, and there's different, you know, there's different levels of trust, and trust can fall into different many categories. But for here, she's, it kind of reminds me of, I don't know what they call it, but I would call the fall and catch exercise, a trust exercise where you turn your back to the people or a person, you're supposed to fall back, and they're supposed to catch you, you're supposed to, you know, let your body go, just, you know, be free, relax free, and trust that they're going to catch you. So in here, right here, you know, she's talking about falling for this person in the sense of her heart. She's giving this person her heart, you know, in the song, you know, she's talking about she's used to being standing on her own. She used to being on her, you know, on her own. But now this individual has come into her life, and she's ready to take that step, a big step. The step is so big that she feels like she's falling. And, of course, when a person is falling, the first thing they probably that they want to do is they're going to put their arms out to catch themselves and save themselves. But as she sings in this song, she's falling. She's going to just – she's giving it. She's just letting this person know that I'm here. You know, I'm giving myself to you, and I need to know that you're going to be there to catch me. When she falls. So this kind of ties into trust. And trust, that is a small word, but it carries big responsibility, because there can be different types of trust. You can trust someone with your heart. You can trust someone with your life. You can trust someone, you know, with your children, your pets, even inanimate objects. You can trust them, you know, to house it, to, you know, wash your car, whatever. So it's a lot of different levels of trust. But what we want to discuss tonight is trust in a relationship between a man and a woman, specifically a husband and a wife. So, I'm going to go ahead and of course, we always try to, you know, set the base and get what is trust? Husband, to you, what does that word mean to you?
To me, it means you can be relaxed. You can let your guard down. You could be yourself. You don't have to have any pretense. Trust is freedom. You know that this individual has your back. So you can relax. You don't have to be, you know, up on your toes, because you know this person is on their toes, so they're, you know, they got you covered. Yeah, that's what trust means to me.
I agree with that. It's about trust is freedom. If you want to just sum it up in that one phrase, trust is freedom. So, is trust something that's given freely? Is trust something that's earned? Is trust just, I mean, how does trust develop or build? When you first meet a person, do you automatically trust that person? And we're speaking in, of course, in a relationship, in a committed relationship between a man and a woman. I can speak for myself. I know that in relationships, in the beginning, initially, I do trust very easily to a certain extent if that person hasn't shown me or given me a reason not to trust them.
So then that will answer the question. I don't believe trust is necessarily earned. It's up to the individual to give trust. Does that sound about right to you?
I think it's both.
Mm-hmm.
I think it trust is earned, and trust is given freely. It just depends on the person and the situation. When you're in a relationship, if you decide to be in a relationship with a person, then automatically they're given a over or a more abundant level of trust versus somebody you just met at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the person you just met at work, you ain't going to tell them everything.
Right.
You know, you're still keeping that veneer up, so, you know, they don't know everything. They just know a little something, and you may be creative with that. But when you're in a relationship, then you're opening up and you're trusting because you're allowing that person in.
Okay.
So I want to just read the definition for trust. Trust is the firm belief in the character, strength, or truth of someone or something, a person or thing in which confidence is placed. And in my research, I learned that there are four elements of trust: consistency, compassion, communication, and competency. Now, in reading all of this, these four elements are relational, meaning, based on the research, meaning that they work together. It's like a table with four legs. If one of the legs breaks, the table is no good, or it's less effective, or able to do what it was built to do, you know, be a table. So, in reading this, in reading about consistency, it gave the example about, you know, do not start behaviors early on in the relationship that you won't or are not willing to maintain. So you have to be consistent when it comes to trust. You have to also understand what your significant other likes and don't like, you know, what they like and dislike, you know, based on being consistent. And then on top of that, consistency also entails continuity, you know, keep doing it. So that's what I was reading about, consistency. So how can that be applied in a relationship? You know, when people first meet, something as simple as he opened the door for her, car door, you know, door to the building, you know, he may, you know, run her some bath water, you know, things that he, that, the saying goes, whatever you did to get her or him, you have to keep doing to keep them. So I would think that that's what they mean by consistency. And maybe that's, I don't know if that's an elementary type of example, but that's what I'm thinking. You have to maintain what you did in the beginning and carry it through out the relationship.
So these four words, consistency, competence, empathy, and what's the other one?
Consistency, compassion, communication, and competency.
Compassion, communication.
And these things are what as they relate to trust?
There are four elements of trust. They're necessary.
Okay.
As far as, you know, trust is encompasses these four elements.
Why is compassion? Well, that would be my question. Why would compassion, what does compassion have to do with trust?
Which I would say you have to be sympathetic to your partner. I mean, just like you said, being an open book. So, you know, and knowing you can be yourself, you know. So if a person, if your partner is hurting and don't feel like they can show that, be it crying or sad. You know, and I would say it's probably more for men, the male partner, because a lot of men, especially black men, they're taught, don't cry, you know, be a man. So they're less apt to show emotion, especially in front of a woman. So if they can't show that they're hurt in front of their significant other, their wife, and then in turn, if he does happen to show that he's hurt, he's crying or what have you, and she doesn't show that she cares, that's compassion, then he's not gonna trust to even, you know, want to even display that in front of her anymore. So that's what I would think, how that right there relates. It's like almost like if he's hurting, you know, if they're connected, if there's a connection there, she should be hurting too, even though, you know, it didn't happen directly to her, but her husband is an extension of her. So she knows she should have some empathy and some compassion, and she should be feeling it too. And if he don't feel comfortable being himself, like you said, then apparently he don't trust her to see her. He doesn't trust her to see him in a vulnerable state like that, in a vulnerable and emotional state like that. Women, we'll cry in front of the husband. We'll cry, you know, that's just because, you know, we'll cry. But a lot of men, black men, won't.
Well, I don't see that as a pillar of trust. I don't see compassion as a pillar of trust. I think what I hear you describing, I don't think it's have anything to do with trust. I understand you're saying that if you don't feel comfortable crying in front of, you know, the woman, then that's a lack of trust, right? But I don't think you have to have compassion in order for somebody to trust you. I don't see those two as being the same. Because you can be compassionate, but that don't mean you're trustworthy. See, trust is not built on emotion. And compassion is an emotion. So trust, I don't believe, is built on emotion. Trust is built on character. Right? So when we think about trust, for me, I go and see, why do I trust God? It had damn thing to do with emotion. It has everything to do with him keeping his word, right? Ain't got nothing to do with emotion. And so I think that when we trust, it's based off the person's character. Now, when you talk about consistency,
mm-hmm.
that's a character issue,
mm-hmm.
right? So
mm-hmm.
I can jive with that.
Mm-hmm.
What else you said? Communication.
Communication.
That's
and,
a character
and,
issue.
And competency.
And competency. See, those three are character issues. And I can see trust
mm-hmm.
being those being the pillars of trust.
Three
I can
of the
see
pillars.
That.
Okay, so
exactly.
Then I can see your view toward compassion. So what other element would you, characteristics, would you say involve, you know, that trust that would describe a trustworthy person?
I would say
partner.
Truth, and I would say strength, which is, again, goes back to a part of their character. So, you know, as we taught that God is love. So, since he is love, And we know that trust is a part of him, and that's what we have in him. Why do we trust him? So it's like they say, you know, how can you love God whom you've never seen, but hate your brother whom you see every day?
Exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to look to him to be able to explain something as simplistic as trust, something as simplistic as love. But what I'm learning, even you break it down, it seems to go in one ear and out the other because they are not understanding what they're actually listening to, because they're behind this wall that the cracker has painted. And it's telling you, this is what love is. And it ain't got a damn thing to do with love. And so the belief gets entrenched in what they thought was love, while what love actually is that truth of God that they reject every day.
So when you talk about trust, when you think about trust, you just explain it's a character. It's based on character. So I made the comment, ask the question, is trust the earned thing or trust is just a freely given thing? So then you said it's both. Okay. So what happens when a person damages or destroys trust between, you know, in a relationship? You know, how can you restore it? Because, you know, you say this character is based on character, right? People's character don't change very easily. So then what's the solution to that?
Well, I think everybody works on, or everybody should be working on character, because that's who you are.
Right, that's ideal.
No, I think it's more than ideal. That is the actual fact.
No, it's the actual fact that that's what people should be doing. That's what you said, right? They should be operating from the point of their character.
Right,
but everybody's
character is actual facts, because that's who they are. Your character, that is who you are. So that's not ideal. That's actual fact. This is who they are. And so they write their testament every day, and those who are around are the witnesses. You know, that's their character. That's really it. And an idea. This is who they are. The white man is the devil, Satan.
That's his character.
That's his character.
That's who he is.
That's who he is. It's not an idea. That's who he is. The black man is God, right? Now, depending on the mindset you have, if you have the crack of mind, but you are black skin, you ain't a God. You're a devil, right? Now, you're taught this is what you should be. But unfortunately, with the condition of your mind, that's the character you are. That's evil. Now, if you've got a righteous mind and you do righteous, then you're God. That's your character. And each day, we wake up and we write in that book more about our own character, from the decisions we make,
mm-hmm.
you know, from everything, how we interact with people, how we treat people, how we think,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's all a part of our character, and that's who you are.
Would you say that character is malleable?
define malleable.
Malleable. Well, I mean, it can be changed. It can be molded.
Definitely.
You know, it can be.
Definitely.
It can. You know, I'm not going to say per se that you have the character of the devil on Monday and then Tuesday. Now you a god, or you know, it's a gradual.
Most definitely.
It can gradual either way, because you know you can be a person that can have upstanding character.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, can go the opposite direction
mm-hmm.
based on influences, experiences, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, why is, like I say, trust is such a small word, and then, but it has a big responsibility. Why is trust so important?
Because we are social beings. You're not on this planet as an island all unto yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're not. You're a social being. So being a social being, then of course you're going to have to be able to trust. You're going to have to be able to trust. And your ability to trust, your ability to work with others to accomplish common objectives, will reflect in the kind of life you live. And it will reflect whether you're successful or whether you're a failure.
Hmm. So, I think your commentary, you're just looking at trust in life, period. Correct? More speaking about relation between husband and wife, man and woman in a committed relationship.
I don't think it's a difference. I think trust is trust, regardless to the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's still trust. It's not going to mean the trust that I have for you doesn't mean the trust that I have for somebody else is a different or is defined differently.
Mm-hmm.
The meaning doesn't change. Some people you trust more because you know them better. Some people you trust less because you don't know them at all. Or you trust them less because you know them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know exactly what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So trust, the meaning doesn't change. It's whether or not, according to who they are, according to their character, how much of that trust do you have? And are you in a position to either grow that? Because you're always in a position to lose it.
Right.
You're always in a position to lose it. But you're not always in a position to grow it. And I don't think people take that into consideration sometimes.
Well, let's go back to relational trust when it comes to, you know, when it comes in the vein of husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we know that we live in a world, in an upside down world, where wrong is right and right is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We know that that's the world that we operate in. So, let me ask you this. Have you ever had an experience where, in a relationship, where the trust was so broken that no matter what you did or didn't do, it just was never going to be better?
Most definitely. Mm-hmm.
So, I know hindsight is 2020. You know, that's what they say. Of course, when you're looking back and you can see things clear, what you should have did, what you didn't, all that right there. So do you have any regret when it came to, and I'm just saying when it came to something that you did, either knowingly or unknowingly, that breached that trust?
And if so, did you learn from that?
Well, of course I have. There's no way that you can, you know, be righteous and or even trying to be righteous and look back over your life, over the things that you made mistakes or you made errors and don't feel bad about. I think that's you know, naturally it comes with it. And so you have to deal with it in your space and time.
So what part is as far as, but when I look at trust, for me, trust is in a relationship is high on the list. You know, just like fidelity. Well, fidelity is, you know, that can fall into trust. Honesty. So I know for me, I've had experiences, and I try not to make past trust issues be baggage in current relationships, because that can be destructive. So I know for me, I don't know about other women, it can be challenging. Even though you're going to a relationship and, you know, it's all rosy, all roses, and you're all in love, and, you know, you have it's euphoric. And then you start seeing the truth about your partner, and it may make you go back. Because you do have that baggage. That may, in this instance, deal with the trust or the distrust of a previous partner. So now it's in this relationship. So then, how is that handled? Well, I mean, because it's hard to, for a man or a woman to deal with something that they didn't cause.
It is, because they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to deal with it. And that's where they lose. Because each person is their own individual train wreck. And so nobody comes to anybody unwrecked.
So we all have some type of
fallacy. We all have it. We've been in wreck after wreck after wreck after wreck. So you take the car to the shop. Yeah, they'll make it look pretty, but it ain't gonna ride like it rolled before the accident.
Right. Exactly.
And that's the same thing with people. They're not gonna be the way that they were before they was in that bad relationship. So that's why the next person that's coming in with the relationship has to have patience. They have to have patience.
How patient is patience,
person.
Though? I mean, you probably can't, like, you know, just put a timeline, 6 months, 15 months, you know, 3 years, you know.
Well, I can say this because I know me. You know, there was relationships that I was in. And the woman did not have patience with me. I'm gonna admit it, I was a handful. I ain't going to say I wasn't. But because a person lacks patience, they can miss out also on their blessing. The value, you don't find valuables
sitting on top. You have to dig. You have to mine for it.
Exactly.
Correct.
Exactly. So you got to mine the good out of people. Because people are so bent up on, I ain't got time for this. I ain't got time for that. And so they can miss their blessing because God has it buried there. And that's something that people got to realize.
So in that, right there, in that example, that goes along with trusting God, that he has you there in that place in your life for a particular reason. So then that goes to trusting in God. As even if, going back to the opening song with Lila James and how she's saying that she's, you know, she's never been there before, she's fallen, she's used to being on her own. I can identify with that song because that's me. So when I met you, I was on, you know, of course I was on my own. Had been on my own for years, doing my own thing, paying my own bills, whatever, you know. And then we meet. And then even in that, wasn't a long courtship. And I did trust, I do trust in God that he brought you into my life for a specific reason. So even in that, and it's not easy. It's not easy. But I do trust in the God that we're here for a reason. What is your opinion, commentary, take, input?
Well, one thing that I've learned in this work is that a lot of people say, you know, the Most High this, the Most High that, you know, he talked to me, he did, and they be lying their ass off. They do, they really do. They lie their ass off. The Most High ain't said nothing to them, no less the man on the moon. But the problem is not that they lie, in essence. The problem is they have never been dropped to their knees. That's the problem. Because once you get dropped to your knees, then you will develop that trust in God. But I think on a regular understanding, we all should know and understand that we meet who we meet because whatever is in us is the same that's in them. It is the same. Water sits its own level. So, like on Dr. Jones' program, and they were complaining about the niggas that they were attracting. And I told them, well, if you attracted a nigga, a no good nigga, well, what do you think you are? You's a no good nigga. Because that's what you attract. So, you know, it takes time to be committed to being a better person, to change. It takes time. And, you know, it's not an overnight work. It's really not. And most people don't take the time necessary to see the change through before they abort their own life. I looked at a picture of us the other day, and I said, I was going to ask you this question. And it was like the picture when we were in St. Louis at that black restaurant eating outside where the food I didn't like.
The little bitty burger.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we took pictures, remember?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at that picture, and the thought came to me to ask you, did you ever thought that you would see yourself like that?
Like what?
Like, you got the picture on your phone? Well, pull it up on Instagram because it's on Instagram.
It's on Instagram?
Yeah.
I don't have Instagram on here.
I'll pull it up.
On this phone.
I
know what you're talking about, but I need to see what you're saying when you say like that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
So, you know, we'll go ahead and we can discuss this. I made some notes. Okay, that's a nice picture. I like that picture.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say, myself like that.
Yeah, head covered.
No, I would have. Well, I've never had any objections to wearing head wraps.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a different type. You know how it's stylish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put it all up there. It is more of fashion
mm-hmm.
versus lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So in this picture, you know, this is my life
mm-hmm.
now. This is, you know, so, no, I would have never thought that would be me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen Muslim women, you know, covered
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So to answer your question, no.
Exactly. Never. But see, the God knew.
Mm.
He already knew. You just didn't.
Mm.
You know, so it's time that reveals. Now, you know, before this picture, you know, during ups and downs, you know, if we were not consistent or we didn't keep pushing through, we would have never got to this point.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to give it time. You got to trust in the God in order to get to this point.
Mm-hmm.
So if you continue to trust and you continue to work at that, you'll be at another point.
Mm-hmm.
And then you step back and say, did you think you'd be at this point?
So when you look at this picture, what do you see?
You know, when I look at it, I see us. Will I see myself at this point? Of course, yeah. This is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
There was no converting or changing. Mm-hmm. I was already on this road.
What about me?
Yeah, because I didn't come into this relationship with a thought that you would be hair covered and Muslim. That wasn't my expectation.
Right.
You know, I couldn't see that, you know. That was not in my picture frame, not in my idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I had to look at it, and I said, well, I didn't anticipate that.
Yeah.
But given time, she wasn't that in the beginning.
Yeah.
But given time, what she grows into. Right? Just like me, I had to have been given time to grow into who I am and who I'm becoming.
Coming, correct.
You know, so we're, as long as we're above ground living, you know, we're still getting that righteous nutrition. That means change.
Change can be struggle too, though.
It is struggle.
Yeah, it can be struggle.
It can be. It is.
Mm-hmm. And family, we'll post the picture on the slide so you can see what picture that we're referring to. Wow. I guess for me, because this right here was a gradual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a gradual thing. And even now, I'm still changing. I'm still learning. And it's a heart thing. Like you said, there's no compulsion in religion. It's a heart thing. So I look forward to what's up the road, what's around the corner. It has, like I say, it hasn't been easy, but I'm still here. And
And for me, I am trusting. I am trusting. I'll just put it like that. I am trusting. Because a lot of things I can't see. You know, I can't see up the street around the corner. So I have to trust. First and foremost, trust God. And then trust you. As you know, as I always say, I've said it before, as you, as my head, I have to trust. Even though sometimes I may not understand it or even agree with it. But I do have to trust you. And at times, I mean, to be honest, that can be challenging for me because of where I've come from. And I'm not even saying where I come from as far as previous relationships. I'm just saying where I come from as far as prior to meeting you, prior to us getting together, I was doing everything, you know. I was who I was. So I had to trust that the God know what he's doing, that you know what you're doing, so I can relinquish some of that, basically some of that control that I've been so accustomed to doing everything. So that's trust also. That's a different type of trust. Mm-hmm. So, husband, has there ever been a time since you and I have started this journey, where you felt that there was less trust in between, you know, you for me, you toward me, based on something I've done or said, didn't do, you know, just something like that.
Of course. I think that happens both ways. It ain't like we, you know, knew each other for years or months. We knew each other for what, hours?
No, more than hours.
Yeah, it was hours. What?
Before we
mm-hmm.
married?
Yeah, I mean.
Well, if you compare how long we knew each other, based to people who court for a long time, yeah, it could be equivalent to hours, if you put it like that.
Yeah.
But not hours in the actual literal sense.
Right, right. Because you can break anything down to hours.
Yes.
But if we just look at the time,
mm-hmm.
from the time we met,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the time we physically met.
Yes.
To the time we met. Very short period of time. Very short period of time. You know, that would be like being on the TV show Married at First Sight.
Well, you know, for what I know about Married at First Sight, I don't think I looked at a whole episode. The premise of that is, they meet at their wedding. They
mm-hmm.
meet at the altar. And now we didn't do that. We didn't meet at the altar.
No, we didn't meet at the altar, but you know, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't even from once we physically met to the day that we actually got married. I don't think there wasn't even like a month.
I wouldn't be game for nothing like what's the name of it?
Married
at First Sight. No. Mm-mm.
Why not?
That right there, something like that, the God had to come down himself and stand in front of me and say, daughter, this is who I got for you. In that instant. I mean, I know you and I, you know, ours was really quick. We did get a chance to talk, and, you know, we got to know each other, and the connection was there. And, you know, we had some type of, it wasn't just I'm coming in the wedding gown down the aisle, you saying that tuxedo, we saying I do. I'm just telling you, that would have never happened. Now,
maybe I would be game for that, though. I would try it. I would be game for that. I think it's just the excitement of it. You know, something new and crazy. Because when I look at the ones, the black ones, not the white ones, but the black ones, and I see so much into it, you know, where neither one of them, you know, have that kind of insight, but, you know, even if they had good counselors, that they could have made it. Because they really pick quality people.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
I'm not understanding.
You said that you would be game for that. I mean, interest in that.
Yeah, I would have done that. I would have done that if I fit the whatever their requirements were.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah, I'd have tried that. Like I said, I think it's exciting. I think it's fun.
So something that's serious that you would have just say, okay, you know, Maurice Muhammad. We're going to pair you with this person. It's basically a high-level matchmaking. That's what they're
mm-hmm.
doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would trust somebody to tell you, well, this is your wife. Not, I mean, you haven't seen her, you haven't talked to her, you had no input. And you would have just trust some mere mortal to say, okay, this person coming down the aisle is your wife.
Because, I mean, one, it looks fine. Right? Now...
So it looks fun. So then what happens when the fun wear off?
I mean, it's a TV show.
But you're married, and it's not like there's a disclaimer, oh, this was just done for in front of a studio audience, and it's fake. I mean, they're actually married. They're actually legally married.
Exactly, but they also know that at the end of the 90 days, if it ain't working, then y'all can, you know, cut, sling, load, and go your separate way.
But it's a divorce. It's not even an annulment. It's a divorce.
It doesn't matter. It's still, you know, because those people are not, you know, they may consider themselves to be an expert,
mm-hmm.
but they're not really experts.
Who is that? You mean the people behind the scenes matchmaking and stuff?
If you look at the counseling that they give these people, it's horrible.
See, I never watched the show. I've watched maybe half of an episode.
Yeah, I've watched shows before. I like the show, actually.
Because it's drama.
Yeah, it's drama. But I look at the black people that they put together. They don't put together interracial.
Right.
They put the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the brother and the sister, they could actually work. But the mentality that they have is just horrible. It's horrible. But with right guidance,
mm-hmm.
it could work.
So then, I guess if you take us, you and I guess what we are and what we've done and what we're doing could be a shoe off of that right there.
Yeah, good. You definitely could. Mm-hmm. You know, if I told you, when I was going to be on the ABC, I think it was ABC, one of them programs.
Swap.
But I couldn't find a wife to do it.
Oh, you couldn't find a wife. You weren't married. You couldn't find a wife.
Yeah, I couldn't find nobody to agree, you know, to
right.
do it with me.
Right.
But shit. They wanted to have me on. I wanted to be on, you know, because they were going to follow me and let watch me do my activism and all that,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I couldn't find a female to agree with that. But if I'd have still had that contact information, send an alert, I guarantee you, they'd be like, what? Okay, yeah, we'll be there. They had a TV out there and everything.
Okay, so if anyone out there is listening, let us know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because the producer lady, she definitely wanted me on.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely wanted me on. So if I still had that information, I sure enough would let her know. And I'm quite sure they'd be with their TV cameras in all what a sight they see.
Wow.
You know.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, as I was saying, though, with the couples that they pick, you know, those black people could have made it.
Mm-hmm.
But they just didn't have right guidance. That was the problem. They just didn't have right guidance. But with right guidance, they would have made it. They'd have made it.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I hear what you're saying, but I couldn't put faith like that, trust like that in a person.
But y'all do it every day.
I'm saying when it comes to something like that where I'm just going to walk down the aisle in a wedding gown and marry this person, this man I've never, ever seen in my whole entire life.
But let's just look at it. Now, we may not, you know, do it like that, marry somebody you ain't never, ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But, hell, you do marry people that you don't know.
Right.
You know, and in the masquerade, you know, you don't know what you're really partnering to. You really don't know. So you're doing the Russian roulette as well. It's just on the more personal level. You're the one making the pick instead of somebody else making it. But at the end of the day,
you still got that one balloon in that barrel going around their gun.
Mm-hmm. It's the same result.
Hmm.
It's the same result. So, you know, like Donald Trump said, hell, vote for me. What you got to lose? You've been losing all this time. Mm. So vote for me. Shit, you had nothing to lose. And look at how our black relationships have been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ain't winning. You lose. What else you got to lose?
Mm.
Why do you think apps now, dating apps, are becoming even more and more popular?
The luck of the draw.
Yeah, you got
to lose. I guess I'm just still a little more conservative. I'm not as conservative probably as some people, especially how we met and married, but I'm a little bit still more conservative than just that. Like, I've never been dating app before. I just, you know, being a woman, I didn't trust it. You know?
I've been on dating apps. I've been on Tinder. And I met quality women on Tinder. Some professional quality women. I met some low-down ones as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but for the most part, they have been professional,
mm-hmm.
quality women that I would not even think that you would not be in a relationship. You would think that these women would already be married. You know, or still married or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't the case. And it was shocking. You know, I met people. One was a lieutenant colonel in the military reserves. One was a business owner. Several dental offices and stuff. I mean, it's just people that you would not expect, that I wouldn't have expected to see or meet on Tinder. I just didn't. Now, they had those. I didn't have no, where people doing naked stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't experience anything like that on Tinder. It was all aboard, upright. And even when I would go to different cities, I would change my Tinder location. Mm-hmm. And so people that I'm in that city, mm-hmm. if they go through my picture of, you know, come up and
when you say go, you mean go to different cities, you mean like to visit?
Like if I'm going back to Philly or if I'm going to D.C., mm-hmm. you know, or somewhere else, I'll change my app location so that
the local people,
exactly.
you would meet the local people.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, I met a lot of people, and they were all quality people. They were all quality people. So it wasn't my experience on Tinder
mm-hmm.
wasn't the like a lot of these other people's experiences.
Let's talk about that. So you met these nice quality women
mm-hmm.
on Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
So what prevented you from taking that leap of faith and marrying one of them versus, you know,
well, on Tinder, it with the women that I met and I talked to, it wasn't a such thing as, okay, they hit like and I hit like,
mm-hmm.
and then next thing you know, 5 minutes later, we meeting up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked through the app,
mm-hmm.
you know. Then it's interesting. It was more like a courting type situation, really,
mm-hmm.
because if that conversation was good or interesting, then we'll take it to the next level, and I'll give you my phone number, you give me your phone number,
mm-hmm.
and we'll text going back and forth. If it graduates from there, okay, then we'll go out, you know, to a dinner or something like that. You know, if it graduates from there, then, you know, you come over my house or I come over your house. And that's as far for me as it has went.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, when you were on Tinder, you went these stairs. You went step one, step
mm-hmm.
two, step four, step one, step two, step three. You know, so you followed that road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the way you and I met, it wasn't on Tinder.
No.
But it was still through social media.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't. So that's what I'm saying. So what's the difference between that and then you?
Because there was no God in that.
There was no what?
There was no God.
God, okay.
You know, okay. It was me on my own, you know, playing the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I was smart enough to know this ain't going to work or that one ain't going to work,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they never knew Brother Muhammad.
They knew Maurice.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I already knew, well, okay, this one ain't going to make it, or, you know, I ain't going to waste my time with that because that ain't going to make it, or
mm-hmm.
I ain't going to waste my time with that because that one ain't going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So that already gave me that insight. And the ones that I actually did meet in the physical wasn't that many. And they didn't progress past that first dinner. It didn't progress past that first meal. Because it's like, you know, one sister that I met, and she was about 50 miles away from Nashville. So
mm-hmm.
I drove that night. Once I got off work, we went to that dinner. And, you know, I'm looking over, and I'm looking at her hands.
Mm-hmm.
And her hands were really rough. I mean, really.
Like labor. She had some hard labor.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to what she's saying out of her mouth, and it's like, nah.
So you judged her on her hands? And her, was it what she was saying? Was she like using foul language?
No,
or was she just not intelligent enough for you? Or
mm-hmm.
conversation wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's like I said on Doc's program. You know, when you're in the courtship phase, you know whether the woman or the man is qualified to be with you,
mm-hmm.
and she just wasn't qualified.
I guess being even though you're a man, you still dated. You were meeting black women on this app. I would really like to talk to women, black women, who are on these apps. They're not, I mean, me personally, I would never get on an app like that because you just don't know what you'll meet that's out there.
There's no knows the difference between an apple walking down the street and you meet somebody in the store?
Oh, my goodness.
I know, but like, instead of behind the app, they can hide behind the keyboard and catfish you. Cause even you, you know, you thought that I was catfishing you until we met, remember?
I mean, but everybody has that. But in some form or fashion, everybody's catfishing.
Because no one's true face is there, even once they get in a relationship. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Hmm.
So, you know, when you boil it all down at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
ain't no damn real difference.
Hmm.
It really isn't. It really isn't. That's why it's like, you know, for me, it wasn't no shame. You know, I remember telling a friend of mine, you know, yeah, I was talking to this girl on Tinder, and he was like, Tinder? Girl, you don't need to be on that. You need to come up off of that. You ain't going to meet no quality person on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you going to meet people that's gaming and doing this and doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, nah, bro, I'm quite sure there's some people out there that's real. You know, but you just got to give it a shot.
Ain't no difference between doing that
or meeting somebody in church or meeting somebody at the mosque or meeting them at the club or meeting them at McDonald's. Ain't no real difference. It is what it is. It's just the method is different.
Oh, no, because I still think a lot of those dating apps are more dangerous for women, especially black women. When you say, I mean, especially black women, because black women are targets anyway.
Yeah, it can be. It can be. But if you look at the numbers,
mm-hmm.
From my understanding, more white women getting done in.
Off of that app than black
mm-hmm.
women.
Yeah.
Not a lot of, I think we're just more cautious.
I don't know. I ran into a lot of black women that's on there looking for a sugar daddy or a one night date. And I found a whole lot of that shit going
mm.
on. And it's like, Lord have mercy. I'm mm-hmm. one girl, like, she talked to me, and I'm like, yeah, okay, we're just talking on the app.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'm going to Atlanta. I said, okay. Sounds like you
should
have fun.
She wanted you to pay for it.
Yeah, give me $500.
$500, nigga. I don't even know you. What the fuck you mean?
Give you $500?
You crazy?
Wow. Yeah. We have all kinds of people out there on those dating apps, shooting daddy apps, whatever you want to call it. All kinds. But I guess what you really boil down to, though, you had all these experiences on these different apps, dating apps, meet whatever you want to call it. YouTube. So what it boils down to is the difference between those women and me was, like you said, it was God breathed.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to trust in that.
Mm-hmm.
You had to trust what he was telling you. Or what
everything
he was,
I picked was, didn't work. That's obvious. Obvious, it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't
believe that any of your previous relationships was God breathed, was divine?
I think it was his permission, but it wasn't what he had picked for me. One, he told me to deal with, and I dealt with it anyway.
Right. You shared that with me. I can
identify with that. If I share with you, you know, what occurred when I first heard you on, I didn't see you when I first heard you on as a guest on someone else's platform. So, I mean, yeah, I can identify with that. And that's the first time that had ever happened to me. I mean, the very first time it has ever happened to me. And for me to trust in that. Even looking back, it is very surprising for me because I can be very skeptical and sometimes over analytical and just, you know, think things literally to death. And I didn't. I truly didn't. I did a little bit, you know, if I explain it to you. I did a little bit, but it wasn't my normal behavior. I just went ahead and accepted it. And here we are.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we do our own choosing most of the time.
So we'd be putting trust in our own choices,
mm-hmm.
trust in ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So why not trust the God? You know, it's like Master Muhammad, before he left, he was letting people pick who they wanted to be their minister. And so before he left, he said, well, do you all mind if I pick this time? And he was like, no, we don't mind. And he picked the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Mm.
And they didn't like his choice. And after the Master Muhammad left, they tried to kill the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So he was on the run for 7 years.
Now, who is that? You mean
the people that was there, the believers, who was following when Master Farah Muhammad was present. And they didn't like his choice. And so they set out to kill his choice. And he was on the run for 7 years, teaching and running for 7 years. But that was God's choice.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want God's choice. So they were happy with their choice. They weren't the man that God raised for them.
And because they're believers.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't trust.
That's right.
They had no faith.
That's right. And that's why when you even look today, you know, with the ministers who were with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad when he was here, and they're not, the majority of them did not come with Minister Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't come with him. They went with Wallace or stayed on their own and made their own thing. And they didn't like the messenger's choice.
Mm-hmm.
But you see where the messenger's choice is compared to the other one.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
So it works to trust God.
I can most definitely attest to that. Most definitely, I'm just saying, with this journey, it's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the journey, you're going somewhere. You're headed to a destination. And with us, is it known or unknown? What would you say?
I think it's unknown.
Mm-hmm.
The destination is unknown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you plan and Allah plans.
Mm-hmm.
And Allah is
the best planner. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to back off your topic.
Well, it's not even about, you know, a lot of times we can write things down and we can plan.
Mm-hmm.
And if the God has something, Allah has enough that he that needs to be talked about or discussed, or however it goes, then it goes that way. So even in this right here, even in this conversation, we shared with, you know, Master Farad and Muhammad and who he chose and how the believers didn't trust. They wasn't even trusting him. It's the God in him that they didn't trust. So even in that right there, that still talks about trust relationships.
so on and so forth. I'm just going to look here at some of my notes. You know, it's amazing how I can sit and research and read and, you know, jot down notes, and you never see my notes. I never tell you about my notes. I just tell you, hey, this is the topic. And we sit here, and I want to say all within the first 30 minutes of the conversation, it's like you hit all my points.
Mm.
So then when I'm sitting here looking, I'm like, well, he said that, okay, he talked about that, and he said that. I'm like, let's talk about it. Because you've already discussed it. We've already talked about it. But one thing, I don't know if we talked about this or not, but we know trust is fragile. Do you agree with that?
It
can be broken, but I'm saying to the point that we know trust can be broken. When I say fragile, I mean that you have to handle it with care. You have to be cognizant of, you know, saying what you do, and let me tell you, go back to that character. Would you agree with that, or you see it differently?
Well, I guess I wouldn't say it's fragile.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you trust somebody, that would tend to believe that you know them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and probably the problem is that most people don't know. They just know us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big difference. But I don't think it's fragile.
So you're saying that trust is solid. So you said that trust can be broken.
Yes.
So anything that's broken, I guess in the way I see it, it has some fragility to it.
Well, I can drop my phone. With the case on, without the case on.
Mm-hmm.
But depending the way it hits,
it can break or not break.
Exactly.
Okay. I understand that. So then let's talk about trust and when it fails, when it falters, when it breaks specifically within a marriage, a black marriage. So what's the process? I know you've always talked about and given an example about, you know, a glass. And, the relationship is the glass, and you're steady doing things, that's going to break that. It's going to crack it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we know that glass is cracked, it's never going to be the same.
Mm.
It's never. I mean, you can, like a windshield on your vehicle, you can repair it, but we know that spot is always going to be weak. It's going to be weak.
Well,
it's not as strong as the rest of the glass that hasn't been damaged. So then, you know, how do you do that? How do you repair and build? And can you build it back up to, if it's not just as strong as it was, can you get it stronger if not just as strong as it was?
Well, if you break your arm,
mm-hmm.
and you get it put in the cast and it fixes and it comes back,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's stronger now than it was before it was broken.
Correct.
Right? Now, you use the example of a glass.
Mm-hmm.
Made by who?
Man.
Exactly. What man?
Man.
What man?
Right.
The bone
is made by God.
Is made by God.
Mm. microphone drop, huh?
Mm-hmm. So it comes back stronger.
But it has to be rooted in the relationship. Has to be rooted, if you use that example, it has to be rooted in the God.
Atonement.
And we went over that. We went over that process of these programs back. The process of atonement, correct?
Mm-hmm. That is your atonement is the method by which
to rebuild some trust and make it stronger.
Mm-hmm.
If not stronger than before, at least bring it back to that point that it was, and then work from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not. I do learn a lot from you. I really do, and I'm so thankful for that, because you know I have been in the white world of academics for a long time. So yeah, I have this degree, I have that degree, you know, EDD. All of that. But even with all these credentials that the white man has bestowed upon me, it doesn't compare to sitting down and talking to you and sitting at your feet and learning. You know? It really truly does. And even something as someone would probably think as simple as this topic, trust. You can say it's simple, but, you know, when you really look at it, it's like you just talked about the glass and the form. I mean, that's profound. You know, the parent trust. We already have a way to repair trust, God's way, versus what I found, you know, in my reading, in my academic reading. And that's why I got a lot of stuff from my academic. You know, you go and you read the journals. You know, you read peer-reviewed journals and research papers and all this right here, all these people with all these academic successes, you know, and it does not compare. It does not compare to, for me, it does not compare to what I've learned from you in the time that we've been together. It really, truly doesn't. You know, people may not know, you know, my educational successes, because that's not me. I don't use that. You know, people probably don't even know that I have a doctorate in education. They probably don't even know that. Probably don't even care to know. But I'm just saying to share and to explain. You know, even the trust I have in you, as you are my teacher, because you are my teacher, you know, you really truly are. You're my teacher. So, and in order for me to learn and be open to what you have to pour into me, I do have to trust that. I do have to have faith that what you're telling me is right, even if I don't understand it or don't necessarily agree. I have to have faith that it's the truth. Correct? Do you agree with that, or what do you have?
The only thing that I would say different is that anything that I'm teaching or giving, it ain't mine. I didn't create it. The God did.
Right.
So,
but I mean, it's still coming through you.
Right.
Right, it's still coming through you. I mean, even sometimes if I read something, I may not get the same I comprehend it, but understand the way that you break it down. Because sometimes words in a book or on a paper are just that, and to someone bring it to life.
Mm-hmm.
To someone teach that thing, and I'm like, oh, the light bulb goes off. It's a lot of things that I've even read, and I have to come to you and I ask you X, Y, and Z. And, you know, like I said, you are. Take it from there. So trust is multifaceted.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. In relationship, it's just not about people probably think that trust is it only pertains to if the man or the wife is being faithful or you know things like that. But trust is like you said earlier, it's throughout. It's from top to bottom, left to right. It's 360 when it comes to having a successful black relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. It's very important. And even, you know, and I'm going to give this example. It is kind of funny when I sit here and think about it. But, you know, I explained how before you and I met, you know, I was doing whatever, you know what I'm saying? They would say, doing your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're what? What are we in the process of doing here within the next few months?
Mm-hmm.
That's trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's a lot of trust. Some people would probably even think, girl, that darn those girls crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? On the outside looking in, they probably think that I lost my flipping mind. That my wings is flipped and lost my edges, everything. You know? But that right there, I mean, I do. I do, first and foremost, trust in the God. And second, I do trust that he has called you for a time such as this. I do trust and believe that you're doing his work. And in all of that, that's why I'm able to do what's happening now with no inhibitions. With no reservation.
Now, let me put a qualifier on that because I don't want people to be jumping out their skin. She is not talking about no polygamy. And that's the first thing that they're going to think. That nigga about to get another wife. And she going right along with it. No, she ain't talking about nothing like that. Just got to put that qualifier out there.
Okay. I mean, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I know you didn't think about it.
If people who know me know I was not referring to that, but I understand what you're saying, though. The people that's listening,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, we're not speaking of that. We're speaking of some other things that are in the process. That's very important. Very important to our B1 family. And we've had to put a lot of trust, even in the unknown when it comes to that. Yeah. So I set my alarm because let me put that lamb in the oven. So, do you want to add anything?
The only thing I would say is that, you know, just remember, you will attract what you are.
Yes.
That's for real. And so knowing that you're not complete, you're not who you're supposed to be at that particular time, neither is your mate.
Mm-hmm.
So be patient.
Mm.
Be patient. You know, and make sure you choose right. Because you, especially for the women, make sure you choose right. Don't bring no nigga home.
So when you say be patient, you mean be patient in yourself and then also be patient in your potential partner?
Exactly.
Okay.
Because you're dealing with a wreck.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're dealing in. It look clean, look new, look shiny, look unwrecked, but it's a wreck.
Under the hood.
Exactly.
What's that? Okay. I understand, and I do agree with that. Well, family, we have come to the end of this discussion. Hopefully, you receive something positive from it, something that you can chew on, even to the point that makes you want to share with others. Again, we appreciate you taking time out to listen to us, to oblige us. And hopefully in the near future, we'll get someone to call in and even talk to us, ask questions, and discuss. A husband?
As we always say, you kill a nigga and you, I'm gonna kill a nigga and me, and our God will reign supreme. We are Black First. Today, tomorrow, and forever. Love you, family. Peace and blessings. Assalamu alaikum. Shalom.
And for love's sake, each mistake, oh, you forgave. And soon both of us learned to trust, not run away.
It was no time to play.
We build it up
and build it up.
Down.